Welcome to Nurse Educator Podcast. I'm Marilyn Orman, Editor-in-Chief of Nurse Educator, and with me today is Dr. Beth Fisk. Beth is the Director of Graduate Nursing Programs at the Beaver College of Health Sciences at Appalachian State University in Boone, North Carolina. And we were very pleased, a Nurse Educator, to be able to publish her article about a really innovative course that was developed by interprofessional faculty at App State. And this course is on trauma-informed care, but with an interprofessional perspective. Beth, thank you so much for joining us today for this podcast.
Well, thank you for inviting me, Dr. Orman. I'm really happy to have the opportunity to talk about this article and this course.
Beth, could you just begin by sharing with our listeners just a little bit about the course, and then what brought the group of interprofessional faculty together to create it?
Well, the course really is pretty broadly about trauma and trauma-informed care, and I think that we really wanted to look at this from not only just caring for an individual, but things that affect their community and policy level issues. So again, we took broad strokes with this course, and I think that really came from really how the group decided to create the course. We are all involved in a county-wide initiative just called the Watauga County Compassionate Community Initiative that really is just here in our little small rural mountain area, but this group, you know, we have 40 to 60 people from across the community meet monthly to really look at, to promote health and resilience and prevent trauma in their community. But we have representatives from the public school system, the local healthcare system, private therapists, law enforcement, representatives from the judicial system, the faith community. So we kind of saw what can happen when you bring everybody together to really look at lots of issues in our community. And we felt that the same thing would be helpful for our students, just to get them engaged in that type of thinking and working together. And I guess the other thing that happened along the same time was all of the departments in our College of Health Sciences were brought together in a new building, so we were all physically housed together, and that really encouraged interprofessional collaboration.
And I think it's a really good example of nursing programs, faculty, and students really meeting our community need. I was just going to say, Beth, I guess the worry would be for faculty listening, even though we just talked a little bit about the positive aspects, when faculty are looking closely at content overload, credit hour overload, what can you tell them about adding this type of course and why it's needed?
Well, there's a chance I'm biased, but I think it's just critical. And I think even in the article, I think it starts off saying trauma is ubiquitous. And I think I'd argue that probably the trauma, violence in the communities is one of the leading, if not the leading, health concern we should be worried about, probably coupled with substance abuse, which also plays into this into trauma. So I think that it might be re-envisioning our courses and look at what we're really dealing with in the community at large and then our patients specifically that need to be addressed. So again, maybe from another aspect of that, and something we focused on pretty heavily in the course was adverse childhood experiences. And we by now know that there are so many poor health outcomes associated with them, and they can often be the root of pretty significant physical, behavioral, and mental health issues. So I think we need to start at those root causes and work from there. But I think beyond adverse childhood experiences, we see so many other issues like sexual assault, intimate partner violence, human trafficking, problems for refugee populations and immigrant populations, and all the anti-immigrant sentiments we're seeing now that really all play into trauma and what we do, you know, and the patients and families we work with every day. And I think even beyond that, we have to look at the intersectionality of adverse community experiences and the impacts of violence in our communities, poverty, racism. And then other things like natural disasters. And we've had significant issues in North Carolina with flooding, and we see that with flooding and wildfires and other natural disasters across the country. But the trauma people experience from being displaced, from losing their home, from losing loved ones, and then, of course, now with COVID-19, all the uncertainty, fear, loss, economic impact, there, you know, I can go on and on, but trauma is such a big problem that I think that addressing it in a course and looking at how it touches everybody is an important consideration.
And I think your summary really tells listeners why this course is meeting multiple needs in a curriculum. I'm interested in how the interprofessional approach that you used either enhanced or maybe detracted from the course.
Well, I think in this case, it primarily enhanced the course because interprofessional education can really be used to help address complex and changing care needs of different populations. And I think, obviously, in practice, we see, everybody work collaboratively every day. And I think even when I was working with students this week and we were talking about interprofessional education, they said, well, am I missing something here? Isn't this what we do every day? And these were graduate students. And it's like, yes, of course. But sometimes in education, if faculty get removed from that, they forget about the day-to-day collaboration that's so necessary, and especially in dealing with the complexity of some of the issues I just mentioned. So we, again, I think getting back to my, when I was talking about our community approach, I think we see that interdisciplinary approach in the community, how important it is. And we also realize that it's important to model that for our students and really help them more clearly envision their future roles and how they're going to interface with others. In terms of anything detracting, I don't know if this would really be an example, but I think students sometimes want to kind of claim their role or identify the aspects that are uniquely in their domain, and sometimes they don't want other people to interface with those. So I think helping them see that no, this does need to be collaborative is helpful, but I think that you have to, again, in this kind of setting, you're working with all the professions together.
Can you tell us a little bit more about the content in the course? Because I think you really have just explained why an interprofessional perspective is critical. So just tell us a little bit more about the content.
Well, and I think I'll borrow some language from social work, because that was, again, one of the representative disciplines in our course. But we really approach trauma from a micro, meso, and macro level, and really used a strength-based approach in the course. But one of the main things we included, and I haven't addressed it that much yet, was resilience. We really wanted to include self-care activities in every class period, knowing that once these students graduate, they're going to need to have those tools to use daily. So we tried a range of different things, again, with the hopes that students would take away something that they could use kind of now while they're in school, but when they're in practice. So we used things like breathing exercises, or we use a Tai Chi type exercise. We use visual journaling. We use some arts-based intervention like collage making. And even on one pretty day, we just went outside and blew bubbles with soap. But just to give them a variety of self-care tools we thought was really important. And just given the nature of the content, we thought it was important to include it in every class to kind of debrief from that class, but also to use in the future. We did, of course, talk about trauma from a neurobiology perspective, and kind of looked at cellular level things and the stress response, but also looked at it, again, at the community and policy level. We had guest speakers who work with individuals affected by trauma, like a sexual assault nurse examiner and a social worker who works with human trafficking victims in our region. And again, at least go from the kind of cellular level impact, the individual impact, and then look at the community impact. We spent some time looking at roles, regulations, ethics of each discipline. And I think the funny thing was things were surprisingly similar across disciplines. We believe the same things and hold a lot of the same values, but it was important to discuss that with students. And we looked at prevention and treatment and looked at some of the screening tools that anyone might use, but then some of the diagnostic tools that might be used in practice, and then use practice a lot of those with with case scenarios, but also gave students an idea about kind of what level of education you'd have to implement some of those tools.
What was the biggest challenge that you found in creating this course and teaching it?
Well, I think the biggest challenge, like most things, is university buy-in to offer this type of course. And I think we really had to have administrative support, because I think you're bringing together different disciplines. And there are lots of small considerations that you might not think about on the surface, like the course designation, you know, what the course, you know, like number, how it's going to appear in when students register for it and that kind of thing. And we were able to just kind of give it a College of Health Sciences designation, because I think, is it going to belong to one department or another? And looking at things like how the credits would be divided among, like, the faculty workload aspect of it was important. And scheduling, because I think really with all these disciplines, students have practicums and that kind of thing where they're not – we had to find a time that would work for everybody, so we ended up offering it in the evening. So that was a big challenge. And then also, there was a lot of time required to develop the course. We really worked together as a team for, you know, met monthly for about a year to really find materials, to make sure we represented all disciplines, to develop assignments, to develop our grading rubrics. So, again, there was a lot of time required. And then in terms of teaching the course, I think same kinds of things, making the commitment to be present. And one thing that we did that again, could get costly, but we really all decided to come to every class period. So instead of dividing it up and like, oh, this is your hour versus this is somebody else's 2 or 3 hours, we did participate to really give those different perspectives in every class session. And I think that was really a major strength of the class, but that could be a problem in terms of, you know, how the class goes forward. So, and also we made the time to meet before each class to troubleshoot and make sure we were grading consistently and that kind of thing. So again, the biggest thing was probably the time required to put it together, and then also just the administrative support for doing this type of course.
But now that you've done it for one course, it'll probably be easier for other courses that you develop.
We hope so, and I think that's part of the reason we took so much time with it and really systematically designed it and really used a design process to put it together, thinking, well, this might serve as at least a roadmap for other faculty to put together similar type offerings.
Could you just, I think a good way of concluding this excellent podcast would be, what other suggestions do you have for educators who want to offer similar courses?
Well, I think that you probably are going to have to make sure that you identify faculty with expertise in the content area, and also make sure that they're very committed to offering this type of course, because it does take a lot of time. And I think you really have to have that support and commitment to it. And again, making sure that administration's on board with it, because I think you'll hit a brick wall immediately if they're not going to be willing to support this kind of course. I think that it's important to really systematically plan the course, because you can address any logistic issues proactively. And I think there were so many little things that came up, but fortunately we had time to think through them, and that really helped this course. And then I guess finally, consider a broad approach to trauma. I think sometimes people will envision it as just dealing with an individual in crisis, but looking at how this touches everybody in some way and really has such a profound impact on health that it's really important to consider.
Well, this concludes the podcast today with Dr. Beth Fisk. And Beth, thank you so much for joining us and for sharing your experiences with this course. And I know our listeners will be particularly interested in some of the takeaways that they'll have for their own work in developing a trauma-informed course. This concludes the podcast today.